This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, Indie Comic Book Noise listeners. It's the Indie Comic Book Noise guys here with a fun little show for you.
There's only one of us here.
There's not really a lot. We were doing so well to have the full team, but illness has struck the bunker. I suspect the legacy virus.
Oof.
And Phil is just missing. I don't know what. I need an indie comic reference for a missing character.
He's MIA.
He's MIA. So it's just myself, Andrew the LA Rabbit, and WWX Kev up in Canada. Say hi, Kev.
Hello.
And for those of you whom this is your first time listening, this is the Independent Comic Book Noise podcast, a.k.a. Indie Comic Book Noise. We're part of the Deliberate Noise Network, and we talk about all things independent, or it can be partially big, too, if it has some independent slant to it. You can also hear us and the full crew over at Marvel Noise. Both podcasts have websites you can visit to listen to past episodes. Plus, you can also get them on iTunes and all them other various ones. Kevin and I have individual Twitter handles, and you can find the Twitter handle for Independent Comic Book Noise at Indie Comic Book Noise N. That's Indie IE, not with a Y. So, I think that's all. We're sponsored by no one, as Steve likes to proudly say. But we do try and get what we can and cover what we can and talk about what we can. So this is probably going to be a shorter episode because it's just the two of us. But as I promised when we did the Epic 400, my goal is to maybe get more episodes out, even though they're going to be shorter. And I envision this where we would have less people. Although, faithful listeners, we did plan to have all four. At one point, there was an email that indicated four of us were going to come, but life shows up in the meantime.
We should just say next week we'll be here again recording, and we'll see what happens.
But hopefully the absence of Super Steve and Phil didn't cause you to turn off your MP3 listening devices and throw them in the trash. We're still here, and we're still going to give you fine, independent, quality noise. I think I phrased those wrongly. But I wanted to give a quick shout out to a Kickstarter. We're going to see how timely I can make this.
Wow. But how well that went for Super Steve. He lost a whole episode on that.
I still have fantasies that even though we're coming up on the year anniversary of that, that it will get released as some Tales from the Vault episode. But I want to talk about, and I've talked about this plenty of times before, but Snyder and Ditko are continuing their reign of terror on the Kickstarters.
Yeah, the most successful Kickstarters. They got to be up there, right?
Well,
like for consecutive Kickstarters?
Yes, I don't think for overall
amounts. Like that.
I think those are for the things that seem to have the biggest hits that I've noticed are like when it's a webcomic or some existing property or famous creator. Not that Ditko isn't famous, but those Bryant Polito Lady Death ones are six figures Kickstarters when I see them. And that dovetails in the other subject that always seems to do well, and that's TNA. My advice to budding young Kickstarters is put a buxom woman in a bikini as your cover art, and that seems to get a lot of attention on the Kickstarters. But this does not have buxom women on the cover, and it's Mr. A, number 7.
Whoa.
That was the last one I just got, and I just backed. The new one is going to be about the Blue Beetle. So try and get on that. I don't know if I'll have this edited and out or if Kev will have it uploaded in time, but hey, I got to spread the blame somehow. But even if we miss that, there'll be another Snyder and Ditko Kickstarter coming. And these are awesome black and white, huge comics. You can pledge a little extra and get all kinds of books. What they generally do is have the new story in it, but they also collect a bunch of classic that followed the same theme.
Whoever thought that Scott Snyder and Steve Ditko would be doing a new comic? Wow.
I think it's Robin Snyder, but Yeah, sure. Why not Scott Snyder?
or Zack Snyder? That would be pretty interesting, too.
But I just wanted to get that out quickly, and that'll also dig at me to get me to edit this thing and get it rolling out the door, hopefully. But as I mentioned on Marvel Noise, which should be coming out someday, I did attend the Long Beach Comic Book Expo. I wanted to just cover it on Marvel because I wasn't sure what the indie schedule was. But really, it's more indie because obviously I met Don McGregor. I talked about his Black Panther stuff. But when I bought something from his table, it was the Saber book, which Steve had talked about. And he was very generous with people and would sit and talk and tell stories and gives personalized signatures and everything. But I'm going to put a pin in that because I know Steve talked about Saber and I'll wait for him to return. I also picked up a single floppy, the maroon number one from Owl Eye Comics, Derek Lipscomb. And I also wanted to give a shout out another book I've mentioned before, Gallagher and Ellis High Moon, which originally came out from Zuda Comics. Kevin, you remember Zuda, don't you?
I do.
One of the early digital initiatives.
Yeah, they were trying to make it go. I guess it's weird, right? Like, costs are pretty low for, like, an individual doing webcomic stuff. But I guess when a big company tries to do it, like, they anticipate certain numbers that I guess didn't happen.
Well,
who am I, though, right? Like, I don't know the economics of anything like that. But that's what it I'd have to imagine, right? Like, you want a certain level of success. Otherwise, well, you'd still be doing it.
I was going to say something even more unqualified, and that is, I've noticed in tech, a lot of times the first people to the table, sometimes they're almost too early. You know what I mean? Like, the market hasn't cooked in, or they have the wrong assumptions or whatever.
You mean, like, Blade comes to the market, and then you're like, you don't get the respect later on when something else comes to the market?
But I also just think of certain early companies where you're like, you know, if that company had come along a few years later, I think there would be a lot more market for it. But the product still exists. They have a brand new hardcover that I picked up, and volume 2 is coming. And like I said, I've talked about this book, but the one thing I wanted to mention about this beautiful hardcover that I loved is they did sort of a dust jacket for it, but it's hard cardboard. What? And what they did, which was clever, was, well, I mean, it's not super hard, but because the book is horizontal, but the cardboard is shaped like a regular book. So when you cover the book, it fits on your bookshelf like all the other books do. And then when you take it out, you slide it out, and you get, and I'm like, that is so clever, because I have a few of these. We talked about Dave Watker's also Western themed book. That was also similarly shaped because it was a webcomic horizontal. And those things just don't fit on your shelf. So I really appreciate that by making this design, it fits and you can read it and it looks perfect right on your shelf. And you take it out, slide it out, and read it how they wanted it. I thought that, I hadn't seen that before.
That is weird.
But I really approve, because now it fits on your shelf proper and you can see it and it's not sticking out with a little low top, you know what I mean?
So your brain feels just sighs and goes, everything is right.
Everything is right, exactly. I mean, I'm not super, I'm one of those guys that I don't mind if some of my books have different trade dress, like if a line changes.
Yeah.
Their pack, I know that bothers, that part I'm fine with. Or if there's a volume I don't want, I'll just skip it. So I might have, you know, 1, 2, and like 5, or like, I'm not that, but I don't really like when all the books are radically different sizes, and those long ones, the horizontal ones, just don't fit on anything. Or I don't have enough of them. I have a handful of them, and there's no good way to shelve them.
What if there's a misspelling on the spine where it's supposed to say cosmic, but it says cosmic?
I don't, sometimes, I'm not, because I was actually reading the, I know I said I was going to save it, but I was reading Saber. And it was the 20th anniversary edition that came out in 98. And the dates, there was a weird little extra space when some of the dates were written. after the first digit, which was kind of drew my eye to it, and I wasn't sure if that was an artifact of the original or the printing or what. So I'm not going to say I don't always notice those things, but it doesn't, it's not like I'm like throwing the book out or it creates a big problem. If the material's quality, I quickly settle down from those business. But that was my, if you want to hear a more complete recap of Long Beach Comic Con, you can listen to Marvel Noise. I believe that's going to be on episode 310. But I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple of little notes. And if you want, I can talk about the Maroon number one or other books I got. Or you can talk about something, Kevin.
You want me to talk about a book?
Sure. I always like it. I've been blathering on like an idiot for a while.
Well, I'll add some. Maybe we'll. You never know where this is gonna go, right? This might take 2 minutes, or I might just. Well,
you might thunderbolts it.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. So I got The Family Trade. Not as in trade paperback or anything. Like it's a single. It's just called The Family Trade, by Justin Jordan, who's been mentioned a lot on this show. Nikki Ryan, Morgan Beam, and Rachel Deering. This is from Image Comics, issue 1. And it has a cat. As soon as I started reading, I wasn't aware there was a cat involved in this.
Sure, we know that was what lured you into buying it. Although it's going to be confusing, Kevin, when it's collected. It'll be The Family Trade Trade?
I guess so. Yeah, I just realized that now. I was like, oh, yeah. How about that?
Because first I thought it was a trade, you know?
Right?
So the confusion starts already.
They didn't do the whole analysis of names and marketing, is what you're saying, right?
Well, I just think when it's a... It's like calling your book The Family Floppy or something.
I don't know if that would be PG, calling your book The Family Floppy. Ooh. But anyways, I didn't know there was a cat in here. I know I have some cat books over the years, like you have the rabbit books. But I guess I should have checked out the back cover. So
cats and rabbits are good creatures to be supporting. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I think, I don't know. How is the rabbit situation? Like, you know how cats are. Like, are rabbits more sociable or more accepting of people than, you know how cats are.
Rabbits tend to be quite skitterish. Because they're prey animals. So, I mean, you can have some that are very gregarious, but they tend to be much more wary of people because we look like giant predators coming to eat them.
With a cat, the cat's a predator and you're the prey. So
exactly. The cat thinks it's going to eat you if it wants
exactly.
to.
So. You fall down the stairs and it doesn't have any food. It's like, well, got to do what I got to do.
Yes, when you untimely pass away and no one finds your body, the cat's not going to stand on ceremony.
Yeah. Anyhow, The Family Trade. This is. I probably bought this because I heard about this. And, you know, it's one of those. I wouldn't say it's like my space. Jupiter type of book like that, but there's certainly some books that deal with water or are underwater, you know, like Vo or what's
the other underwater one? Welder
or that Undertow. Like there's sort of like books that take place on water or underwater. A lot of water is what I'm trying to get at. Water books, you want to put that on the spine. High quality water drama. So this is more like Waterworld, where something happened in the past, and then all these ships came together, and then they built some civilization on this like neutral piece of, I don't know, not land, but they built a fortress on water. And it's like city on top of city on top of city. They don't really get into, like how the world, like the rest of the world type of stuff. Like, you're like, oh, well, is this like a water world? They don't really get into that in a lot of depth. But the,
well, it's just the first issue, so they're going to add more on that later. They got to hook you in with the characters or the scenario.
Well, there is like a flashback portion that's just done in just like browns, and it's like black and white type of thing where they fill you in on like some of the history and how some of these things came about, which is cool. And gets into the different, like, classes or guilds or who some of the people are. But most of the book is, like, watercolor-ish. But, like, it's not super colorful. Like, a character wears a mask that's, like, bright red. But there's a lot of grays or purples and stuff. But, like, colors when
it fits in with the water theme.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of, like, dark water sort of color things until you need some stuff where it's like lights or whatever. But this starts with our I guess hero. I don't know what you call them. They're like narrating something, and they're gonna go murder someone because apparently there's this between, like, there's all these different like groups of people. And there's sort of like some kind of neutrality going on this island of neutral island of people. But they're like, there's a, like a sort of a group behind there that sort of like keeps the balance and everything in line. So this assassin is on their way to murder someone, except they can't do the job. And then the person wakes up and trouble ensues, right? And as they're, like, escaping, they happen to go by the window of like, all the people that are, like, supposed to be in charge of, like, I guess, security and stuff in there. So, that like, you get a chase, and then they like, this assassin escapes, and then they run into this cat that helps them out. And they're like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to follow this cat, right? Talking cat or something.
So does it look like a regular cat, or is it like Saga with some kind of, you know, sci-fi futuristic cat?
They have cats in Saga?
Yeah, the lion cat, the one that tells
Oh, that's right! Why does all of the big Image books have cats?
They know that? Their audience. They're trying to lure you back, Kevin.
Apparently, because Monstrous has a three-tailed cat. That's interesting. Does Walking Dead have a cat? Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of either. They don't really have animals in that book that much.
No, that's probably for the... Yeah. But anyways, this cat's like pawing like, hey, go over here type of thing. It's talking, but it's not... Like, that's why I find it's weird they... And like, them back, they're like, oh, talking cats. I'm like, well, the cat is talking, but it's not talking. Like, it's talking cat. Like, I don't know if that's supposed to... Like, is that a thing, or... Anyhow.
Are the speech balloons in English, or...
No, it's like meow, a cat. Meow, meow. Like a meow type of thing. So I'm like, that's why it's weird. I'm like reading the letters page, and they're like, well, who would have thought of calming the talking cats and everything? I'm like, what? It's supposed to talk? Like, it seems to be doing things that could mean it's more conscious of its actions, like it's leading someone somewhere and saying, hey, go over here type of thing. But I'm like, I don't infer that that means that it's a talking cat necessarily that knows how, you know what I mean?
Maybe a vocal cat would have been a better description, because that would let you know that it's making cat noises as opposed to talking, where you're not sure if it's cat noises or the human language it's going to be speaking. Or if people in that world, maybe they learn how to speak cat.
Well, that's what I was wondering then, right? Because they make it like, oh, I can't speak cat. And I'm like, but can you? I don't know. That's just strange. So, it also goes into some history about, like, the this dude called the Bookmaker is like one of the guys that's sort of like running the show of like the behind the scenesness to keep everything going, and he's like, you weren't supposed to murder this person, etc., etc. So I'm thinking, well, that's not good. Like, I thought that was supposed to be, you know, you think that they're doing the right thing, and I guess they weren't doing the right thing. But at some point, I was thrown like right out of the comic. See if this means anything to you, Andrew. And I have only one message to the clans. It is time to make the float glorious again. And at that point, I'm just like, really?
Well, that was the first reference to float?
That was not the... No, I was immediately thinking about your political situation. Because
I was trying to soft-pedal that maybe... Maybe it's... because you like underwater stories. You didn't like the idea that it was going to, you know, focus on the above. Yeah.
So before this shows up, I was like, okay, maybe this is... like some story about, oh, like you can read into things if you want type of stuff. And then I get to the scene, I'm like totally thrown out of the story. And at this point, I think we've come to the point where this is going to be done many times more. And at some point, I'm thinking this is too easy and could be really lazy storytelling. Like, aren't we... What's the point where we reach, like, too much, right?
Well, also, there's a fair component of escapism that you're writing off when you choose to do that. Second of all, because of the immediacy, there isn't really a lot of analysis. You know, you're not looking at a situation that occurred and taking, you're just reacting to the news cycle or whatever's going on now, which, as you say, can feel... not as processed, where I feel like when you're looking back on something historical, even if it's in your lifetime, at least there's some perspective of the events played out. And, you know, you have time to look at what happened and what didn't. And I just feel that, well, also it feels like today everything is so politicized at times, you run the risk not only of it just being lazy and boring, but turning people off who, like I said, they want the escape. So like, they're read comic books, not to, you know, be reminded of the news.
Like, I'm not going to say that I was turned off by it, but, like, I could pick up, what was going on before that became overt in the story. Like I could have cut that out of the story, and I would have been, you know, I've been like, hey, this is pretty enjoyable. It might be like that, but you don't have, like...
You don't have to hit you over the head. Well, also it was just like
I'm like, if you don't tell that story well, like it's just seems like it would just be a lazy trope shorthand. Like, oh, like you could put a lot of depth into your story, but it's just everywhere.
Like you say, you don't want to call specific instances. If you want to tell that story, you just paint the picture, but don't use the explicit reference. Because that also, like, if someone tries to read the book in 20 years, depending on what happens, maybe they'll have long forgot, you know. Like, what was that? He was just some dude who was president and said some stuff, but no one, I don't really remember the slogans that, you know, George Bush, the first one, ran on or whatever, so. Well, I do remember no new taxes, but... I don't remember too many of the others, so I think that...
You're going to have a guy like me reading this, like when we were reading that Deathlok story, and I'm like, why does he have all those tapes? What's Deathlok talking about? And then Steve tells me off air, and he's like, Kevin, that was about the tapes from the 70s, and he's like giving me all the history, and I'm like, oh, that's what he meant by that.
Well, you can also... I was going to say, my next book sort of plays into some of that as well, so... I don't know if you've read it or not, but I'll be interested when we get... But I don't want to jump the gun. I want to make sure you have full time for family trade.
Well, that's pretty much where... Like, that's towards the end of the issue. Like, there's some other stuff that goes on and some decisions the main character makes and everything. But it's like the rest of the book is like heavy focused on, like, that character or that character being in the scene. And I was like, I kind of like the stuff that was before that better. Like, I realized after the fact, like, that was the person that was going to be murdered in the beginning. But at the beginning, it was me just assuming, oh, this could be one of those things. And then later on, I'm like, it is that thing. So
plus, once the cat wasn't featured as prominently, admit it, you were a little less interested.
And I was into the assassins and the world and everything like that. And I'm like, this is cool. And then, you know, I was just like, okay, like, well, what's the story gonna be about? Like, I don't know. I guess it became less world building and more like real world, like parallel thing. So. I don't know. I'll probably check some more out, but, you know. It just got my mind going in a different direction than how the book started. And I was more interested at the beginning. That's probably on me, though, at that point.
Well,
like,
I run into expectation issues as well. Mainly because, as you know, I don't pre-order usually or read a lot. So I'm just buying stuff that looks cool.
Well, you're telling me pre-ordering is a lie. Until you see the physical thing, it doesn't exist.
So I oftentimes run into, like, whatever preconceived notions the cover and the setup give me, because I don't know how the book was sold in general. So that can lead me astray. And it led me a little astray on that same book I was going to talk about as well. I mean, maybe not in a bad way, but I know I'm always fighting those things. And that is Abbott from Boom Studios. I don't know if you heard about this or picked it up, Kev.
I've heard about it, but I know barely anything about it.
So it just looked like it had a cool cover. The protagonist is smoking a cigarette on like a red background with a weird kind of tentacles and stuff in the drop. But it's a Saladin Ahmed, Sammy Kavila, and Jason Wordy. But you open it up and it's set in Detroit 1972. And the opening splash page has all these kind of headlines and images to kind of put you right in that time frame, which I really liked. I mean, I wasn't cognizant of what was going on in 1972 at the time, but retroactively, I'm familiar with the period a little bit. So it puts you right in the Nixon mode, if you want. And our protagonist is Abbott, a newspaper reporter who's famed for really getting into things, but also mixing it up. You know, kind of the trope newspaper person who doesn't give up, you know, always gets the story, rubs people the wrong way, has people fighting against her, and opens up with a weird scene where a horse has been decapitated.
Whoa, animal violence.
So, and then there's a scene where she reacts weirdly to it, but I think they really set it feels like, and I don't know, I didn't have firsthand experience of 1972 Detroit, but I really feel like it's a real complete world. I will say, if you don't like cigarette smoking, the protagonist, Abbott, she smokes in like at least every other panel, if not every, I mean, she is either lighting up a smoke or pulling in, I mean, almost everyone smokes. It's just great, like smoking and drinking. Joe Quesada would not like this comic book. But so she's also very into her routine. Like, she, you know, does the same thing every day. That's how she builds her life. But she's, you know, her editor is sticking up for her because she had just written some story about police violence. So, like I said, she tells the truth, but takes a lot of heat for it. And, you know, there's always that struggle. It's been a while since I've read, like, the newspaper reporter as the protagonist. Normally, it's in these kind of noirish books, it's usually a cop or a private investigator. But her ex-husband is a cop. And so he calls her in on this other murder case. And again, it's the same kind of weird. She reacts to it in, like, these kind of magic lines or whatever come off the creature. And then it ends with a surprise. So while I really enjoyed the 1972 investigator end of it, the weird magic stuff felt kind of tacked on. And I think this is where my lack of an understanding what the book was about put me at a disadvantage because I thought it was just going to be about a Hard Nails 1972 reporter, like investigating crimes and figuring out corruption and doing all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the magic elements, they were sprinkled in, but I sort of missed them because it looks like she's just reacting to something. You know what I mean? Like it's only later on when they explain, like, oh, her and her husband had some encounter with some, and then it ends with more obvious allusions to whatever kind of creature she's going to mess with.
It was the whole Scott Pilgrim thing. Like, I don't know why so many people reacted strongly to the end of that book when there's like clues all through the thing. It's just,
I didn't get that far. Okay. Like I said, I thought it was creepy. I never liked those guys that like hit on high school girls after they were out of high school. They were always kind of weird. I mean, that's my own thing. Like, it's totally cool if you want to go date high school chicks. Like, it's not my bag, but I don't know. It's just kind of weird, you know? The whole age of consent and all that stuff gets kind of hanky. And when you put your protagonist, like, in the first 10 pages, he's talking about high school chicks, it kind of skeeved me out, and so I couldn't read anymore. But hey, you know, you need to have unpopular lead characters. Like, I read Lolita, like, I understand that art can have uncomfortable truths about, you know, age of consent and those sort of questions about older men and younger women and things like that. And it builds a great world. I like it just feels like 1972 Detroit. But the horror magic elements are the ones that didn't speak to me. And I think that's my perception. I was just grooving on this. The character and the setting and everything, and I was like, oh, okay. And I'm not that it turns me off completely, but I feel like, man, it doesn't really need that. So I don't know where it's gonna, how that's gonna, so while I liked a lot of things about issue one, I'll need to see the second issue to know how am I gonna feel about these magical, mystical elements when they're combined with the parts I really do like. Maybe it'll be even better. Maybe it'll be like that Brubaker series where the guy, was he a reporter, a cop or something, and he got involved?
Well, which series?
It was kind of Lovecraftian.
Oh, the Fatale?
Yeah. Wasn't he in getting involved with magic and all that stuff?
I wouldn't say it was magic. Like, I would, what would you call that? That's,
because I read the first few issues of that one, too.
It's more of a, like horror, supernatural, like, underpinning stuff. It's not so much magic.
Well, that could be the same here. It's definitely, there's some otherworldly forces. Like, I don't mean it's magic like Doctor Strange. I mean it's magic like John Constantine. Well, that's what I mean.
It's not like characters are doing magic. It's just, it's more like, well, he's pulling from Lovecraft and stuff like that. So it's more it's more of a feeling and stuff like that until they get more explicit into things.
I think that's what this is going to be. That's the, like the horror kind of, there's a mirror world or whatever, but it's not so like, definitely more on the horror end. Like I said, I love the world and the characters seem good. I'm just curious what the magic element, I'll have to see. You know, I'll definitely check out the next issue if I make it to the store when it comes out.
I think it's already out.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh my god. How quickly these comics come. Maybe it'll be at the store. Well,
announcement for something completely different. But Phil and Steve won't get to enjoy this. So that's kind of disappointing.
Well, I mean, I assume they're avid listeners like I am to the show.
Well, I'm guess not what I have.
I listen.
Well, Andrew, maybe you can guess. What's the biggest crossover event in the history of comics?
I don't know. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman.
It I think it contributed to the crashing of the direct market and the way Diamond operates.
I don't know. I'm curious.
Deathmate.
I don't think I was around in the 90s.
Because I think It was probably Phil that said, "Oh man, I really want Valiant to be back on the show."
I think that was when you were going into your 10th different manga review of the day. So
I think so. Well, you gotta like One Punch Man. Like, who doesn't like that? I don't want to meet the person who, you know.
So is this original Deathmate?
Yeah, this is.
Or like the Deathmate that was published recently.
That was good too. That was good. Yeah, that was good. All the blood shots stuck. Did I talk about that on here? I don't remember.
Well, if you can't remember, Kevin, you can't expect the rest of us to.
With Bloodshot Island, with all the blood shots? Not like New York City, but and then Deathmate was like coming to kill them, and they were like doing like Groundhog's Day over and over again until like the modern Bloodshot came in there and like helped them like learn things so they could survive and do things more and more every day.
All right, we're getting. I took you off course from Deathmate. So this is Deathmate, circa 1993.
Let me see what it says on the inside front cover here. Yeah, I believe so, because isn't one of these notorious for like being really late? I think the Image one. I think the Valiant ones all came out on time, but the Image one was like extremely late from what I remember. So this is the Silver. This is the prologue one. I gotta say, there's not a whole lot of story in here. Like,
so who's our creatives? We can't.
Oh, who's our? Okay, I'll tell you. The first story is by writer Bob Layton, penciler Barry Windsor Smith, and inker Jim Lee. How can you turn that down?
How do you hire Bob Layton as your writer?
Valiant, man.
As opposed to having him do his awesome artwork.
And right at this moment, Microsoft starts advertising to me, "Hey, did you know you can use your Microsoft account?" Yeah, that's great. I'm doing a podcast right now. Three notifications at once.
Hey, they want you to stay on top of it. So anyways, we have... So there's more than one story in this book.
Yes, there is. So that's pretty incredible, I must say. Like, wow. And really, that's the best story in here. And that's the one that's actually like a short story and you're actually getting somewhere. That's the Valiant side. So that's good. Or maybe the other one's good too. I don't know. Like, it depends what you feel, right?
So did you read the comic?
So the Image side is writer Bob Layton, penciler Rob Liefeld, and then it's Bob Layton with Danny Mickey, Dan Pazogian, inkers, and I think that's it. I just can't believe it's just hard to imagine it's the same writer. Like, I assume there was some further collaboration, right? Like, it's not night and day, but I think it's easy to tell, like, the first story is in the Valiant style, and the second story is in the Image style. Let me put it that way.
So that means you had to hold the book the wrong way up to read the panels.
It's just so strange, Andrew. It's so strange. But I want to read, because I've become quite a big Valiant guy, and then I've heard about this, and I got it for, I don't know what it was, maybe like 25 cents, I don't know. It's obviously not in mint, but I wanted to see, you know?
I wanted to explore. I have a graded copy of
the gold one.
So... that's probably one of my better books, my Deathmate Gold from 93.
You don't have one of those encapsulated in graded 9.8 or
anything? It's graded. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, so I haven't read the book. I can't bear to open it out.
Wow.
So I'm relying on you to put me right there. So do the stories, like, is it part one and part two or not connected?
Yeah, it is that, but there's a method to their madness. I just think the first half is a story, a short story, and the second half is, well, I'll get to it, okay? We'll do this Thunderbolt style.
We don't have that kind of time, Kevin.
Well, oh, trust me, we have a lot of time. Who's going to stop us? You're going to stop me?
I'm the one that has to edit this thing. You better believe I'm going to stop you.
I'll listen to the episode and I'll be like, funny, I remember talking for another 2 hours about that.
Well, what'll happen is I'll just sign up and just keep talking.
Well, considering what I thought was going to happen tonight, it won't be a whole lot different.
All right, so Bob Layton gives us part one. Part one, Valiant style.
Yeah. Prologue, chapter one, all Valiant style. So Solar is coming onto the scene here with his girlfriend, who apparently he's been keeping alive through, he can manipulate universal cosmic forces, right? That's his deal, right?
Sure.
So, it's just weird because he's keeping her alive, so I don't know if something happened previously, like if she was supposed to die or if she's like 200 years old, or I don't know what the deal is there, but apparently he was keeping her alive, and then once that he releases those energies and she's like, I'm done, you know, I'm gonna kill myself or whatever, you gotta release me, and then he just lets go of his energies on her and she just immediately dies. She doesn't age, she just dies. So I'm like, okay, like he must have had some weird relationships, right?
Well, you gotta start with some tragedy in your story.
I guess so. And then she's like, maybe you'll find someone like me. Like you. Like me. She's like you. Foreshadowing. And then at that point, he starts having an episode, and you see two Solars. Like, Classic Solar and, I don't know what to call the other Solar. Like, he's a guy without the, he has his hair. You can see his hair. He doesn't have the whole skull cap on, and he's wearing like a leather jacket. He looks like a 90s. I'll say that, the 90s Solar, like the 90s comics, how 90s looked, you know?
Oh, I know.
Okay. And then so our Solar is like the classic version. So this other guy says, I'm free, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and, I guess, goes into another universe and starts exploring stuff. Now, how familiar are you with the Wildcats, Andrew?
Not super familiar.
But you know,
I've seen them. I've seen a comic.
Okay.
Might have watched a cartoon.
I'm thinking maybe you know more than I do. Even though I've read some Wildstorm. Void.
No, I can't answer any questions about who they are. I know, like, Jim Lee, and there's a lot of them, and they got pouches and guns and everything.
Okay. Oh, and the other thing I noticed about this comic is, wow, you can really tell some of these are just, like, Marvel characters. But they're, like, Image characters. Like, this is the thing. I usually don't have a problem with that anymore. Like, usually I can look at old Image characters and I don't immediately go, hey, that's just Wolverine. Like, usually I can, like, Spawn, Savage Dragon, Savage Dragon, right? Like, there's enough. Like, I don't think, what's that DC character that just came out that people are saying looks like Spider-Man? You know, from the New Age of Heroes. Like, I never thought initially, without people telling me, like, that's Spider-Man, that looks like Spider-Man. Like, I didn't make the connection, so I don't usually make the connection with these Image characters. But, man, some of these Image characters really look like Marvel characters.
Well, you know, that's the Marvel artists, so.
I know, but it just struck me, this issue. Anyways, we have Void, who's all silver and apparently cosmically attuned and mega powerful as well. But I don't really know anything about them. And they sort of run into this other 90s leather jacket Solar. And
they fight.
No, they're like, hey, you're like me. Hey, you're like me. Like, we're the same thing. You know, you're beautiful. I'm beautiful. I'm gonna rock your universe, literally. And one kiss leads to another, and their bodies explode or turn into one, and something happens to the universe.
Cool.
So that's the first story. And then there's page after page of ads. Like, you have an ad for Deathmate Red, which is Youngblood and Bloodshot. And it says, this blood's for you.
Okay.
Then you have Harbinger 25. This is the one you've been waiting for. Sting versus Harada, and only one will survive. Funny enough, that happened in the other Harbinger 25. But I guess... You know, I always have trouble with that. Like, the original Harbinger, like, he was called Sting, and now he doesn't really have a name in, like, the current Valiant. He's, like, he's not going by Sting, really. Like, it's not a thing that you see anywhere. It's just, like, Faith isn't really known as Zephyr. She's just sort of Faith. Like, they've already obviously distanced themselves from some of those names. You have an ad for Bloodshot. Being a hero got into his blood, literally. Then you have caught between a hard rock and a dark place. You know, like Master Dark. And it shows Shadow Man teaming up with Aerosmith.
Bad Rock? Oh.
You have an ad for... Mirage and some Jim Lee's Wildcats trading cards.
Nice.
Then you get to the second part of the story. Universal Truth. This is the Deathmate image. I guess. Oh, they call it part two. Why isn't it chapter two? Anyhow. So the first few pages are basically just three panels, like, down the page. And it's this them showing... like the merged combinations of the Image and Valiant universes' histories merged together.
Well, they said it was going to be cosmic and big, so...
I know, but it's like you go from, like, storytelling and all and panels and, like, captions to just, like, almost pages of pinups, but, like... like, three a page. So you have, like, Bloodshot being on, what's his team? Youngblood?
Well, it was the time of the artist, Kevin. You know, you needed striking visuals to get the kids to buy your comic.
I think I enjoyed the first part more, but what can I say? you have Shadow Man being on Wildcats. You have, I guess this is the other part of Wildcats being on, with Hardcore. So
back then, were you reading both Valiant and Image books, or were you just one or the other?
Neither.
Okay.
The only Valiant book I had was the, what's that one? Unity Zero. That's the only, I think. Okay. I think it might have had, like, one other... Image, but it wasn't really a thing.
So you don't have the sentimental thing for these book characters?
No, that's why I wanted to read it too, now that I'm coming back over things, because even though I've become a Valiant fan, like, I wasn't reading it then, so it's interesting from my perspective.
Yeah, so they merged the universes. Well, they said they were going to do it, and they did it.
So you have, like, Wildcore or Hard Cats.
Sure.
So they do a few more pages of, like, stuff like that. And then at some point, some guys figure out that, hey, the universe is really messed up. So the Geomancer, of course, the dude in Valiant that would be in tune with Mother Nature and the universe and world events. And Supreme... I think it's Supreme, isn't it? Or am I losing my brain here? No, it's Profit. Sorry, it's Profit.
So does the story wrap up then? They find the problem, but do they fix it, or does it get continued?
It's to be continued. Like, you see a few more characters show up. There's a fight. Kane Garrison shows up. I mean, whoever this guy. Like, I don't know who this is. Like, I'm at a loss. Like, it says the Berserkers with a Z. Like, okay. I don't know. They look almost exactly like Weapon X. Like, I don't know.
All right, Kevin.
That dude shows up anyways, but Prophet's the one that that knows something is going down. So he's teaming up with the Geomancer. And they're like, well, something's wrong, you know. It could be the end of all time is at hand. And then they're like continued in Deathmate Yellow.
All right, well, your mission for next time is to go find Deathmate Yellow.
Well, I think I only have Deathmate Prologue and Deathlog. Deathlog. Wow.
Well, Deathmate, I think we. I think we've reached the point where the show is disintegrating. But I do want you, Kevin, if you can find it. Maybe I'll have to send it to you so we can give the exciting conclusion of what happened.
It was interesting, though, Andrew. Like, I enjoyed myself even in the second half. I'm like, it's not like terrible, but the story got a little slight. And there's a lot of ads.
Well, at least you got some splash pages to look at.
This is true. I got to see some Barry Windsor Smith art, so, you know.
That's always good.
And it was 25 cents, so I can't go wrong.
Even better. All right, folks. I think I'm going to put a pin in this indie comic book mini 402. But I'm going to try and get this out. And, as promised, going to try and get these episodes chugging along a little better and mixing up the lineups and everything, but... Until then, keep making ours in the comic book noise. Kevin, you have a sign-off catchphrase?
Rub the blood?
There we go. Thanks.
Whoa. What's going on? Man, all vision's getting blurry. Oh, Dr. Spinnerman! Oh, Jesus. I feel strange, something's changing inside of me. Rearranging at mind-blowing rates. Should be scared, could be cancer, knowing my luck. Wasn't prepared for cancer to feel this great. Woo! Surging inside of me, I'm feeling stronger than ever before. All the weakness is purging inside of me. What else could life have in store? Oh, I'm finally finished with all of the labels I've worn. It's a new start, a new day, a new life, a new way. So thanks, old microwave, a new Prius and hoist it right over my head. What the hell, there's a Prius in front of me. Awesome, I'm lifting it and I'm not dead. With the sun in the sky, I can jump and say hi to the morn. Look up there and you'll see me, a powerful free me. It sucks not to be me, a new Peter Parker. Trends.